Okay, let's get started and respect everybody who showed up on time. So here we are for our fourth and final meeting of Rediscovering Resilience in Turbulent Times. And today we're going to talk about finding hope and meaning. And I am really happy to see you all here. And I assume that many of you have been on this journey with me for the entire month. And pat yourselves on the back for committing to it and coming and joining. And it's really been, I know that I have enjoyed preparing for you and meeting with you. And I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I have. So let's get started. We have a lot of things that we want to do tonight. And we're going to start like we always start, aren't we? We're going to start with what's my level of stress. And I already saw that people are sharing on the chat. So you know the drill. We're going to run a poll. There we go, on a scale of 1 to 10. And just check in, what is my level of stress right now? And we're going to give it 60 seconds. So Rachel, I know you're behind the scenes there. When it's up to 60 seconds, we're going to turn it off and see how we do and share. We'll share. Why not? We'll share. Okay, we must be up to about 60 seconds already. No? I think we can. There we go. And let's, okay, results. So we've got some at 7. Looks like 7 and 2 are at a tie today. And, 9. We have a three-way tie. 9, 7, and 2. And everything else is scattered. So pretty typical across the board. Nobody's at a 1. All right. And let's close the poll and move on and take a minute of mindfulness. Now, before we start this minute of mindfulness, I want to ask how many of you show your hand, even though I can't see anybody's hand here. I'm curious whether you have been adopting this practice, and if so, what it's been like for you. So that's one thing that I'm very interested in, and I hope you will share. What there's going to be some time for feedback, and I hope you'll share that when we get to the feedback. Now, the minute of mindfulness, as we have been practicing it until now, and as you received in the handout, if you went to my website where all the handouts are posted and all sorts of extra enrichment things are available. If you have been practicing it, you should know that this is one way, one good way. Great. I'm really excited that I think I found where happy. Oh, we're getting all sorts of responses here. Okay, so I can't stop and read all of this now, but I am excited to see that you are doing some of this. And what I wanted to share with you today is another method of breathing. So if some people really like doing the breathing the way we did, and it's about the simplest way possible, I'm going to teach you another very simple way today to breathe. And it's called breathing from the heart. Sometimes it's called that. Sometimes there are other names, and it's just about as simple as what we did. And there's some very interesting studies that I've been reading about how when you focus specifically on the heart, it kind of opens the heart and it affects your physiology. So let's do this. Let's place both hands over our heart. Okay. Most of us, our heart is on the right, it's on the left, excuse me. Most, you know how we used to pledge allegiance? That's where your heart is for most people. So place both hands over your heart, and you can, if you choose to keep your eyes open, that's fine. Just find something to focus on. I always like to close my eyes. And what we're going to do is take 6 breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth. Just imagine you can imagine your heart actually breathing. Breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth, and just imagine your heart breathing. We're taking 6 breaths. And if you allow yourself to feel gratitude for something, very naturally, very often when we focus on our heart, a feeling of gratitude comes up. And before you open your eyes and come back, just notice how your body is feeling. So that is another very simple way to do some mindful breathing, this time breathing from the heart. And now we're going to check our stress levels again. And let's see what happened. Rachel, a 60-second poll. Rachel, there you are. And Rachel, can you tell me while people are polling whether you hear my fan, whether it's making too much noise? Because I put it on high.
I don't hear it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure thing.
Okay, I think we're probably ready to close out our poll. And look at the results. So 7 is the winner now, but you have to remember that, a lot of people moved down from 9. So the fact that 7 is the winner. Oh, and we've got some 1s now. Terrific. So there's been a general shift down. And I would say, I noticed myself as I've been doing this exercise that I generally shift down 1 or 2. And that's great. You know, I think if we can, in 1 minute, just become a little bit more aware of how we're feeling, become a little bit more grounded, a little more calm, that's a wonderful thing. Okay, so thank you for the poll, Rachel. Really appreciate your help. And we can, you know, there's a big back office here in OU, here. Well, I'm here in Efrat, and this is the time to thank them for all that they've been doing to make this possible. And Rachel, our tech person, is one of them. So thank you, Rachel. So what we're going to do is do a little bit of review tonight, and we're going to move on and talk about hope and meaning. Just to remind you, this is a slide that's been with us from the beginning. What is resilience? And this is for people, if somebody should happen to be new here. The way we defined resilience, we used all these different definitions of resilience, with the one that I like best is ordinary magic. It's so ordinary. Resilience is every day. It's all around us. And it's magical. How do people manage to pull themselves back up and back together after very difficult things? And what we've been focusing on here is rediscovering our resilience during COVID, particularly during this difficult time. What can we do to help ourselves? So we know it's for the long term and it is connected to strength, but it's really, really connected to flexibility, looking at all of our options, trying out new things. And I really hope that you have tried out some new things here. So I'm going to give a little push to a brand new book that I just wrote, and it is available for pre-order on Amazon as of last week. It's called Is Resilience? Now, as you can guess, the book is about resilience, and it's about what Israelis can teach the world. Michael Dixon, my co-author, and myself, we interviewed 14 exceptional Israelis, some well-known, some not known at all, who had very interesting life stories, very inspiring life stories. And I'm happy to put this in the, I'll put the link into the chat if you're interested in pre-ordering the book, but it's really, I think it's a pretty good read, or it's an excellent read. That's what I'm supposed to say. And look who said it's such a great book. Inspiring stories that demonstrate the power of the modern state of Israel as a shining example of resilience. So I kind of like Rabbi Sachs, and the fact that he liked our book, I'm really proud of. So I wanted to push that and let you know about that. And it's really, really connected to resilience. And reading about resilience can also, I think, help increase our resilience, very honestly. So I will put that link somewhere in the chat as we go along, if I have a minute while you're doing one of your writing exercises. So again, this is one more slide that we've seen in the past. The BRI, the foundations of the Building Resilience Intervention. In our first session, just to review, we talked about self and stress reduction. And the second session, we spent talking about coping and basic pH. And the third session, we talked about emotions. We talked about the psychology of happiness. We looked at some more difficult emotions and the importance of experiencing all emotions. And today we're going to talk about significance, hope, and meaning. Okay, you see, I tried to get four S's here. I got three. S, and then there's E, S. So it's really about hope and meaning. So the poem, Emily Dickinson's poem, is a favorite, and I'm not going to read the entire poem, but I'm going to say just a little bit of it. Hope is this thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And you can continue and read this for yourselves. But the idea being is hope is something that we all have. It's part of all of us. And we know that there are some very interesting studies about the psychology of hope, if you can believe it. And the person who's most associated with that is a fellow named Charles Snyder. And he did his work in the early part of the 21st century. We're up to 2020 now. We've been in this century for a long time. And what a beautiful quote of his is, a rainbow is a prism that sends shards of multicolored light in various directions. It lifts our spirit and makes us think of what is possible. Hope is the same, a personal rainbow of the mind. And I thought that was just a beautiful quote that I wanted to share with you. So what do we know about hope? We know people who have hope are less depressed, they heal quicker, they achieve their goals like finishing college or school. What else? What else do we know about hope? There, you know, psychologists try to break things down that we all seem to know that is common sense. And that's okay, because that's what they do. But I think we all have an inside view on hope. We all know what hope is. We know when we feel hopeful, when we feel hopeless. And one of the questions is, and I think during this time of COVID, one of the things that's happened is that many of us feel a loss of hope. Like, when is this gonna all be finished? When is it going to be over? And it feels some days hopeless. And if you catch yourself feeling hopeless, one of the things that you can do is you can stop and say to yourself, is it really never going to be over? Let's ask that question. Is it really never going to be over? No. One day it's going to be finished. The Spanish flu took a couple of years. Pandemics usually take a while. I know we all had that feeling back in March that if we were only good and stayed indoors for 2 or 3 months, everything would blow over. It didn't happen. And it's not surprising that it didn't happen. But we really have to figure out a way how we can keep our hope at a reasonably high level, not that it's important not to give up hope, not to give up hope that there will one day be a vaccine, not to give up hope that there will be a cure, not to give up hope that our lives in many ways will go back to what we knew. I am sure there are things that will change for a good long time. I don't know what those things are. I'm not a prophet or the daughter of a prophet. I know that a big part of resilience is maintaining and keeping hope. So when we think about hope in difficult times, one way to help us, and I read an article by this woman, and she's also a psychologist named Sharon Salzberg, who's done a lot of work in meditation. And she talks about how it's important not to be attached to the outcome. Find hope in life as it is. So in other words, we don't want to say, okay, as soon as there's a vaccine, I'll be hopeful again. No, we need to figure out how we find hope in our life as it is now. And it's important to remember that we have been through difficult times before, and we will get through this. If we think about our parents and our grandparents, they went through very difficult times. They went through big wars. They went through difficult immigrations. They went through the Depression, and they all got through it, and it didn't last forever. We're going to get through this too. It's important, and we have certainly done this in this course. We have looked at what sustains us, what makes us enthusiastic, energetic, excited, involved. We didn't so much use those words. We talked more about coping, but if you think about it, coping makes us feel these things. So what makes us feel good? What makes us feel enthusiastic and energetic and excited and involved? And, you know, a lot of times, during COVID, we feel that the door is closed. If we loved travel and that excited us and made us feel very energized, well, we're not traveling now. So we need to find that flexibility to shift. What can I do instead? Maybe there's some place in my neighborhood that I can volunteer. Maybe there is a course that I can take online that will energize and excite me. So flexibility here is the key. And what used to make us enthusiastic and energetic may not be available to us now. That is what's happened, yes. But that flower can grow in the cracks in the desert. Beautiful things come. There's a wonderful Hasidic story that a friend of mine, David Pelkowitz, used to tell about a king who had an amazing collection of diamonds. And he was looking through his collection of diamonds one day, and he noticed that his largest and most beautiful diamond had a crack in it. He was heartbroken. He didn't know what to do. And he called his advisors, and his advisors said, well, let's call all the diamond polishers in the kingdom, and let's see what they can do with the diamonds. So they put out a call to all the diamond polishers, and several of them came, and they looked at the diamond. They polished this way, polished that way, and the crack was still there. And finally, the final diamond polisher that came in was, of course, a chassid. And he looked like a chassid looks. And the king said, wow, this man, he's not going to be able to save my diamond. And his advisor said, well, let's give him a try. We don't have anything to lose. And the chassid worked on the diamond day and night for several days. And when he was finished, he brought the diamond to the king, and what the king saw was the most amazing diamond in the world. What the chassid had done was not try to polish out the crack, but what he did was he embellished it. He drew leaves and flowers around the crack. He was able to design a diamond that was far more beautiful than what that diamond had originally been. And I think the parable is clear. The meaning of this parable is clear. We can't take away the difficulties, but we can use them. We can use them as a springboard for our lives. We can find what we can do during this time and really make the most of it. And of course, living in community and finding community, and the OU is just such a community. Whether the community be virtual or actual is an important part as well. And another person who wrote a book, who I really didn't know until I started preparing the presentation today, but I kind of liked the things that he said. He wrote a book about hope, that we have to keep in mind that the future will be better than the present. We have the power to make it so. We have many paths to our goals, and none of them are free of obstacles. And when we reach an obstacle, we have to figure out how do we go around it, or what do we do with it. So hope is connected to our wishes, our goals for ourselves. It's connected to avenues for getting there. And it's also connected with understanding that there will be setbacks and what we do to get around those setbacks. And I think in this time of COVID, I really like this picture. To hope is to embrace uncertainty. There is so much uncertainty. I will give you a small example. My son is getting married in 2 weeks. We're not quite sure exactly what the wedding will be like, who will be there, and how it will unfold. So I can assure you, this is not the first wedding that I am making. He is my youngest child. We have made several weddings, and I have never in my life planned so little, done so little, and I'm sure it's going to be great. I'm hopeful that they will have the wedding of their dreams, and that I am trying, and it's not always easy, but I am trying to embrace the uncertainty and the beauty in that uncertainty. So now we're going to move on to meaning. I had debated whether we should stop and do an exercise here, and I decided that the exercises I'm going to leave for the end, and we will do them. So what is meaning? Is it related to hope? What is the meaning of life for you? And this was a quote that I liked. Life has no meaning. Each of us has meaning, and we bring it to life. It is a waste to be asking the question when you are the answer. I'm going to ask the question though. Where is it? What gives your life meaning? And what I'm going to do is, let's see how I'm going to do this. I'm going to copy. Can I copy this? No. I am going to go to this link. I'm going to put it in the chat in a minute. I was supposed to put it in the chat before. Right. So what I'm going to do is stop the share and go to the chat. Bring up the chat. And find the Padlet. Let's see if we can do this. Not working. You're going to have to give me a minute. There we go. Okay. Now, Padlet, meanwhile, you're thinking about what gives my life meaning. And here is the link to the Padlet. And you do not have to log on to use the Padlet. I don't think you shouldn't have to. And just start to answer. Think about what are the things in my life that give meaning, that bring meaning. And if you have trouble writing on the Padlet, feel free to write on the chat. Okay. The chat is open as well. And I'm going to share my screen again. Yes, I want to share the Padlet. I see the Padlet, but you folks don't. So 1 minute, we're going to share the beautiful Padlet. Well, there we go. Let's get some more answers here. Feel free to write in the chat if the Padlet is not working for you. Okay, so we see a lot of people talk about family and children and spending time with husband and with other people. And then there's davening and doing mitzvahs and a lot of talk about volunteering and helping other people. Thinking about the positive outcomes of the pandemic, and we're gonna spend a little time doing that today. Concentrating on good things in my life. That's the gratitude that we talked about, I think, earlier. From the chat, what gives my life meaning? Routines such as walking the dogs, making the bed, family, music, friends, pets, cooking and baking, family, learning Torah, feeling a sense of accomplishment, walk on the beach. Oh, aren't you lucky? With my husband, organized space. Yeah, it's great. I see that husbands are coming up in many places, and I think Corona's been a time, particularly for those of us who don't have small children at home, to really kind of reconnect. Isn't that the truth? To our spouses, and let's see if we can make that smaller. Definitely davening. Okay. So there are a lot of things in our life that give our life meaning. And I know if we spend a little time thinking about it, we'll even be able to make bigger lists. And thinking about what gives our life meaning, if you think about it, just notice how this feels to be doing this exercise. Doing an exercise like this is also giving us a sense of purpose in life, a direction, goals. We can start thinking about, oh, well, I really like to help other people. Maybe I need to focus on some people that I can help, or maybe I have tons of people to help. Focusing on a goal or a project, somebody wrote here, and that's really true. If you're finding that your days are not filled, finding new goals. And again, that's what I was talking about with COVID, is that very often the things that we did before, we're not doing now. So in the beginning, the adrenaline was high and we were kind of managing, but we've been in it for a while. Now's the time to kind of take stock and see, okay, what else do I want to put into my life? What else do I have room for? What meaningful things can I do? So, okay, thank you for your participation. This Padlet's going to be up for a while. Monthly soup project now. That sounds interesting. I would like to hear more about that. okay, so we're going to stop this share. And we are going to go back to, oh. Oy, oy, oy. Oy, oy, oy. Here, we're gonna go back to here. I think this session 4, we gotta open this up again because I closed it. There's always something, isn't there? And we're down on slide. I realized I meant to tell you one of the amazing stories of resilience in our book. If we have time, I'll share one of those amazing stories at the end. That is why I put that slide in there and I forgot. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about here is that how trauma, and I would consider, truly, I would consider COVID a type of trauma for many, many people. Trauma can often be a trigger to searching for meaning. Our lives have had significant amount of upheaval. You only see the document list, not the slide. You don't see the slide now? I think you should see the slide now. No? Do you see the slide? You don't see the slide? Oh, that's interesting. Really? You don't see the slide? Why is that?
Again. You were seeing your Finder window. Can you try opening it again, but making sure that you only are clicking the slide when you're sharing?
Only clicking. Okay, let's try this. Okay, what do you see now?
There, we've got it.
Okay, and if I do it like this, what do you see?
Just the slide. It's perfect.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the feedback. That's really important. I'm glad whoever it was who told me. Karen, thank you very much. Keep me posted. I really appreciate that. Okay. Excellent. Thank you, Esther. Okay. So I wanted to, as I, oh, now you don't. As I mentioned, trauma can be a trigger to searching for meaning. And searching for meaning, I believe, is really an important part of coping, an important part of resilience. There's some very interesting studies. You know, the father of the search for meaning is Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl and his book, Man's Search for Meaning, which was an incredible bestseller. And translated to, I don't know, 40, 50 different languages, and a book you can read again and again. And if you haven't read it in 20 years, read it again. Viktor Frankl, as probably most of you know, was a psychoanalyst. He was in the Holocaust. He was in Auschwitz. And what kept him going was the meaning that he found, and there were two parts to that meaning, as I recall. I haven't read the book in a while. It's time for me to read it again. One was to see his wife again, and tragically, his wife was killed. And the second was to publish this book that he was writing in his head and on the backs of pieces of scraps of paper about man's search for meaning. His understanding was that when people lost their hope and could not find any meaning left in their life, that's when they gave up and they died. So as long as you can find meaning in your life, and meaning is a very personal thing. It could be seeing your granddaughter once a week on FaceTime. It could be helping your neighbor. It could be learning Torah. It could be so many different things. What gives one person meaning is going to be different from somebody else. But what we know is that meaning is a very important part of coping. And there's been some research on child Holocaust survivors who ask themselves three questions after the Holocaust. Why me? How should I live my life differently because this has happened to me? And what do I do with the pain and the memories? So during these difficult events, we ask ourselves these questions. And I think COVID, and I'm not comparing, I'm not comparing our experiences with in COVID with the Holocaust at all. But what I'm saying is we might be asking ourselves, how should we live our lives differently because this has happened to us? And I know people have talked about slowing down and shutting down and spending more time with family and getting down to the essentials and the basics. And what do we do with the difficulties? It's not all good. What do we do with those difficulties? So it's important to ask ourselves questions related to the purpose in our life and the sense that we make of it. What sense are we making out of this difficult time? So, in addition to asking about what gives your life meaning, you can ask, what is my purpose in life? What are my goals? Where am I in my life? And very often, you know, these questions might sound kind of adolescent. Many of us may have asked ourselves these questions when we were in our teens or in our early 20s, but it's a wonderful time to open this up and ask again, what is my purpose in life? And it's changing as you develop and grow older. Your development doesn't stop. It doesn't stop at 40. It doesn't stop at 50. It doesn't stop at 60. It doesn't stop at 90. You're always moving, and your purpose in life may be changing. When you're 90 and you are the matriarch of your family, maybe it's setting a model and something to for the younger generation to look up to. And to impart wisdom that you have accrued in your life. When you're 40 or 50, your purpose may be providing a safe and stable home for your children, giving them the time they need and what they need. Each age and each decade brings its own challenges. And I think purpose in life can change. So this is a wonderful time to look at this. What is my purpose in life? What are my goals? And where am I? Where am I in my life? What else do I want to do? So one way to think about making meaning, and I'm always trying to drill this down, because this program is a program that I brought not only to adults, but also to children. So how do you talk to children about meaning, and how do you talk to preschoolers about meaning? And you can. So there are several different ways to think about paths to meaning. There's a cognitive path, there's an activity path, and there's a spiritual path. And they're really all connected, as we'll see. And this is based on, whoops, that study. Here's the bibliography, Grossman et al. From 2006. And the first path is probably familiar to us. It's making meaning, understanding what happened, and the importance of the narrative. What story are we telling ourselves? And this is particularly important when in the context of trauma, reweaving the before and the after story. I'm the same person I was before COVID and after COVID. I may be doing different things, but that core of who I am is the same core. And how do I tell the COVID story? What story do we tell ourselves, and what will we tell ourselves and our children and grandchildren about COVID-19? What significance will we attribute to what has happened? So it's interesting to consider the narrative, the COVID narrative that we will tell. Something that's a little easier to wrap your head around might be action. And a lot of you had action and activities on that Padlet that we looked at. Volunteering was a big one, helping others that are worse off, helping others in similar circumstances, creating memorials for people who have passed on. Very often, young people will be influenced by difficult things that happen to them and make career choices based on that. I know many people who have had lost a parent or a sibling and then gone on to either study medicine or do research, definitely influenced by their life experience. So there are a lot of ways to create meaning. Creative work can also create meaning. Writing, painting, the plastic arts, all of the arts. And in this photo, I have a picture. It's looks like two people on a bicycle, but what you don't know is that the guy behind, the second guy on the bike, is blind. He cannot see. And he is part of an organization called In Israel Etgarim, and this guy in the front is a volunteer. And they ride in tandem because the guy in front sees, obviously, but the guy in the back has his role too. He pedals strongly. And they both find meaning in this. This is important for both of them. So the final path to meaning is spiritual. And I think that's something that we can all understand. And there's traditional religion, which has lots of parts to it. It's not just religion. There's learning, there's prayer, there's meditation, there's song and dance. And each person finds what part of their religion or their spiritual practice suits them, what they particularly find meaning in. And then there are alternative or not traditional spiritual journeys. Some of them are, it might be yoga, it might be meditation, it might be readings or poetry. There are all different ways to reach that spiritual meaning. And there's my beautiful picture of the redwoods, the California redwoods. I don't want to think about them burning down, but there are some California redwoods. Now, what we're going to do, let's see what time we have. I have two exercises. And let's see if we have time for two. Let's just see if we have time for two, because they're both good exercises. So I want you to take a piece of paper now, and I'm going to give you about 3 or 4 minutes to write a prayer. Write a prayer that expresses your hope. And it could be a hope for yourself right now or for the future, for your family, for Am Yisrael, for the world. Just take a few minutes to write a prayer. And writing a prayer, it's interesting. For those of us who have grown up in the Orthodox tradition and learned the Siddur from an early age, my cohorts, we didn't do much personal prayer. We davened whatever was in the Siddur. But one of the things that I know that has changed is that my grandchildren and even my children have been exposed to the notion of personal prayer. There's a place for personal prayer. So here's an opportunity to write a prayer, and I'm going to be quiet for a few moments as you do this. And actually, I'm going to stop the share for a moment. Okay, and I'm going to move on to, you know, if anybody, by the way, would like to send me their prayer, I would love to see it. And if anybody wants to write a piece of their prayer in the chat, that would be great. We could share that as well. I want to move on to the next exercise because I want to have a little bit of time. So if you haven't finished your prayer, feel free to keep going. If you finished it, another writing exercise. And this exercise is called Silver Lining. Every cloud has a silver lining. I'd like you to think about a COVID-19 cloud in your life. Write a few sentences about it. And after you write a few sentences about it, I want you to examine the silver lining in this situation. Are there any benefits, any upsides, any advantages? Write about them. Okay, and we're going to stop. We'll stop there before we get to the final part. So you can read through this. Okay. And I'm going to give you another few minutes to do the silver lining exercise. If you don't have time or you don't want to do it now and you want to do it later, well, that's fine too. What this exercise does is it helps us try to find some meaning in the difficult times in our lives. And I hate to rush through this so quickly. I'm going to give you another minute or two. Thank you for those of you who have shared your prayers and your hopes. That's a beautiful prayer, Tim. And thank you, Orit. You know what? I think what we're going to do, because time is short, with the silver lining exercise, if you've done it, great. If you haven't done it yet, save it and do it later. And what I'd like you to do after you finish writing, take 4 or 5 minutes to do this writing. After you finish the writing, what I'd like you to do is breathe, notice what it was like for yourself to do this exercise. And if you can share it with somebody, please do. The sharing part is really important. And I would encourage you, if you can and you'd like to email to me. I would love to read both your prayers and your exercises. So I'm putting my email in here again. And I think, though, you get the idea, is that spending some time thinking about hope, thinking about the meaning in your life and what gives your life meaning and trying to figure out what it is, how you tell this story and find the silver lining in it. All this clearly increases a sense of well-being, a sense of resilience, and gives us energy. Very frankly and honestly, this is what gives us energy to wake up in the morning and to continue. So, this is a long prayer. Parts of my prayer. Beautiful. Thank you. That is a beautiful, beautiful prayer. Beautiful prayer. Thank you, Candace. And I'm going to read Tim's prayer. Sustainer of all that is, we come before you asking for our hearts to be healed, our eyes to be opened, and our hands ready to do the work you have charged us to do. Amen. What a beautiful prayer. Thank you. Thank you all who have shared. I really appreciate it. And the silver lining exercise, send them in to me because I want to see them. And now I want to review with you. I want to have a few minutes so that we can wrap up these exciting 4 weeks that we've been together. It's been a journey, hasn't it? The journey of resilience. And what I'd like to do is in this journey, we really have covered a lot of ground. We've talked about ourselves and we've learned how to calm ourselves down and become more aware and mindful. We've talked about gratitude. We have talked about coping, what kinds of things we like to do, what kinds of things we've done in the past that maybe we would like to try again. All different ways of coping, social, belief systems, cognitive ways of coping, physical ways of coping. And then we talked about the importance of emotions. And maybe sometimes we talked about difficult emotions and we didn't always feel so great, but I encourage you and I remind you that allowing for the difficult emotions allows us also to feel the positive ones. And I don't think that we need to worry that if we feel those difficult ones, we're going to go down the rabbit hole and never come back up. That doesn't happen. We allow ourselves to feel the difficult emotions. We know lots of ways now to encourage ourselves to feel positive emotions as well. So, in the chat, I would love it if you could talk about what are you taking away from this series into your life? What have you learned about yourself, the world, anything else? And please feel free to comment about the course. Here, I gave a little review. Self-mindfulness and stress reduction, that was our first session. Strengths and coping, I forgot that I pulled these lovely pictures. Coping strategies, basic pH. Talked about different kinds of emotions. Yes, happiness, sadness, fear, disgust, anger, and what is that last one? Surprise. I think we could put there joy, excitement as well. And today we talked about hope and meaning and nurturing it. And I think this is a beautiful picture that talks about, to me, what this picture says is that we have to nurture hope and meaning, give it a place and a space. We have to talk about it. We have to, yes, it's there. Everybody knows that it's there. What is the meaning of life? But how often do we sit and talk about the meaning of life? So have a conversation with your spouse, with your kid, with your friend about the meaning in your life and write about hope. Oh, and that reminds me, we talked about the importance of journaling. When we talked about expressing emotions, we talked about how important it is to express emotions, not only talk, not only sharing with our friends and with our spouses and with the people around us, maybe our children, but also writing or drawing or dancing. So those are, okay. Oh, wait, what happened? I had another Padlet. Where did it go? Okay, so I'm going to find it. These are the questions that I'm asking, but I'm going to stop and find Padlet number 2 that you can, let's see if we can. We have little blips tonight. So here's our next Padlet, our feedback Padlet. So I'm going to put it up in the chat. Here we go. And I'd love it if you could. I see there are people writing in the chat. Yeah, I know we have 5 minutes to go. Thank you, Rachel. And here we go. So here's a Padlet. Anybody who wants to write on the Padlet will be open. So you can continue writing your feedback even after the hour is up. Let's see what people have said. Silver lining. We have learned to find the art in nature. Ooh, that's great. Love the slides and exercises. Missed sessions. Oh, that's an important thing I wanted to say. If you've missed any sessions, you can see everything on the OU site, on my site as well. I'm going to write down my site. I have put lots of information related to this course, okay? Exercises, there's an audio of the guided imagery that we did last week. There are handouts. So I've put some time into getting some stuff out there for you. And please go there and enjoy. Okay, and let's see if anybody's writing on the Padlet. Yeah, we've got a few people. Take home message. License to take the time, make time to reflect, hooray. It's okay to feel the negative, but remember to look at the positive too. Amen. You'd like to continue another 4 months. Thank you, Rebecca. Well, I don't know if it's, we probably could figure out what to do for another 4 months. Maybe we'll do another one. Feelings come and go. They're not permanent. Wow, is that important? That is so important. I don't know if I shared with you, there's an old Chinese saying, there's an old Hebrew saying, Gamzeyavo, also Gamzulitova. Gamzulitova would be probably the silver lining, but there's an old Chinese parable that says you never step into the same river twice. And if you think about our emotions as a river, it's always changing. Sometimes we can feel so angry. We think we'll never, ever, ever get over it. And guess what? It recedes, it changes. Okay, we are not alone in this journey. That is really, I feel, you know, for me, the challenge in teaching this course was that it was a webinar. I didn't see your faces. I don't know what you look like. To some degree, it was impersonal, but I tried to make it as personal as possible with a lot of back and forth. And I feel that we did connect. And if that's one of your take homes, that we are not alone on this journey, that is great. That is just great. Qigong, yeah. Okay, let's see what else we have. All right. Well, I thank you all. And we are reaching the bottom of our hour. So I'm going to go back to my final slide. Let's see if we get this right here today. There we go. Here is my final slide. And that has my email again and the website with all the information, which I certainly put out there for you as well. So I want to thank you all for your active participation, and it's been a pleasure. If you get sent formal feedback from the OU, I hope you will respond, and I look forward to getting your exercises, okay? I really look forward. Send me your exercises, and I want to read your silver linings. So send them on. And there are a few people who've sent me emails during the last week or so. It's been a busy, busy, busy week with lots of grandchildren. So I promise you that if you write to me, I will get back to you. Sometimes it just takes a while. So thank you for the mazel tov on my son's wedding. I appreciate that as well. And have a good rest of the day. And I'm going to leave the chat open for, if Rachel allows me, I'm going to leave this open for another few minutes. So if anybody else wants to write, they can. Is that okay with you, Rachel?
I've got to shut it down.
You have to shut it down. Okay. Yeah. So email me or put it on Padlet or whatever. I appreciate all. And Rachel, if you could send me the chat, I missed some things earlier on, I'd really appreciate it. So have a good night, everybody. Over and out. Okay.